Will you turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6? And then we're going to go to Deuteronomy. First of all, we'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and it says this way, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added to you." Deuteronomy chapter 4 and the verse 29 says this way, "But for there you will seek the Lord your God, and if you seek, will seek from the bottom of your heart and you and your soul. When you are in distress, all those things come upon you in the later days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, not destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful and thankful we are for Jesus. Thank you for your love that has been poured in our hearts. Help us not to keep for ourselves, but to share with others. God, we pray as we've been praying for our nation, and we pray for revival that may come, God, and we know that will begin from the church. And we're asking the power of the Holy Spirit that may come upon us, and that we may be a faithful witness to do your work, that sinners may come to you as Lord and Savior. Somehow God was pressing on my heart to bring this message this morning. Some time ago, Pastor Jim told me that he will be away, and he says, "You know what? Get ready." I was preparing different sermon and on worship. And somehow last week, God just pressed on and gave me those verses. And that's what I want to share with you today. Jesus is telling here that we must seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And then says all those things that we need for life will be added to us. But you know what? Sometimes what happened with us, that instead to seek the kingdom and God's righteousness, we're getting involved with things. And we love things, don't we? And we buy things. And we accumulate things. Because we love them. And our nature are pulling that way when our spirit desires deep enough for God. And I know that you, the same way as myself, we have things that we bought more than we need. I love tools. And I want to tell you, I have tools more than I needed. And it's amazing, isn't it? And other guys love boats or other things. I had a friend, actually we meet almost every year when we go to Hume Lake. I knew that John had a secular job, but I didn't know that he inherited somehow the trait that his father was working on. And he says, "You know what, Steve, I am building boats." And he showed me all kind of boats. And I was fascinated with those boats. Show me one that was around $60,000. I say, "Wow, what a nice boat." And you won't believe it. And the other boat that he showed me, $300,000. I say, "John, who buys?" "Oh," he says, "you will be surprised." You know, when we we buy one thing and then we need another thing to pull that thing, and then we need a truck and a huge truck the same way. And you know what happens with us? We tend to hold God. I mean, we tend to hold God on hold and say, God, wait. When the Bible says us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the rest of the things going to be added to you. I remember many years ago when I was a pastor in Chicago, I had a call. And the Raymond called me and says, Pastor, we're in trouble. I say, what happened? Actually, we want you to come to our house. And I went to their house, and he began to pour his heart. He says, you know what? I've been working so hard. We just bought the home. And I gave to my wife the payment for the house that she may pay the mortgage. And you know what she did? She threw a party for Junior and spent the whole money. And I don't know later on, but I know that they didn't lose the house. But sometime to be unwise and do such a thing like this, I was thinking, wow. And that's why we need wisdom, don't we? How we should live on this earth. And how we must seek first God. And then allow God in our life that God may transform us completely. And that's why God is speaking through Jeremiah. In the chapter 33, the verse 3, he says, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know it. There is so much that we don't know about God. And God is the only one who is able to teach us and show us His mercy, His love, His great compassion, His plans, how He wants to save this world, and He wants us to be involved in what He does to bring those people together. And then if we read in Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 1, he says over here, and therefore we have, since around us, such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside all weight and the sin that really entangles us, and let run with endurance the race that He has been set before us, looking upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We have to strip off all the weight that entangles us. There are so many things that entangles us and holding us back from that totally and completely, that we may give ourselves to the Lord and allow God in our lives to work through us. And that's why the writer of Hebrews is telling us and says, strip off from all this and run with endurance the race that has been set by God. God puts us on that race. And He wants us with endurance to go on. And we're not too far from the end. We'll get very soon there. And then in Isaiah chapter 55 and the verse 2 says, why do you spend for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? It says, listen to me carefully and eat of the good, and let your soul delight in abundance. That's God's plan for our life. Don't spend your money on what is not satisfied. Anything that is in our flesh doesn't satisfy. We have it. We think that we need more to be happy. And that's how this world lives. You and I, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And as the one who brings the joy and the happiness, that assurance that we have in Him, that is not this life on this earth. It's the one that comes. Somebody says, it's nice to live with the Lord here and enjoy Him, but still the better comes. And that's why Paul, the writer, is asking us and telling us that we should enjoy, delight with the Lord, and let your soul delight in itself in abundance. God wanted us to have the life that be in abundance. And that's why Jesus in the Gospel of John in chapter 10 and the verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But look at here. But I came that you may have life and my habit in abundance. Life in abundance. You know what? When God going to pour upon you, going to overflow. And not only bless you, going to bless others through you. Others will be touched by you. Because you are a child of God and you are full of the Holy Spirit. And you're living the life that God intended for you to live. And then James chapter 1, the verse 17 says, every good gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of light. Every good gift comes from above. God is the one who pours upon us the blessings. Many years ago, I listened to a preacher, and he says, sometime God's going to open the heavens and pour the blessings upon the earth. But you know, the problem is that many times God doesn't have hands that may receive from Him. Because we have in our interest in something else. We look in the other way. When we look, we have to look toward God. And allow God to work in our life that we may enjoy that life in abundance. The King David says, acknowledge God in all your ways, and all your step will be straight. Your path will be straight. Acknowledge God in all our ways. And your paths will be straight. And you will be in the right path to walk with the Lord. Paul was praying for the Ephesian church. And you remember there's chapter 4, beginning with the verse 14, and he's praying that the church may have that knowledge of God. And that knowledge that surpasses all understanding. That the church may realize the width of the grace of God and the height and the depthness and all what God has for him. Then he finishes it up with the verse 19. Listen to this. In the verse 19, he's telling that we may know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, God want to fill you up from the bottom of your head to from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, that you may be filled with God. And all the powers of the devil will know. And I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit will live in you, when the Father and the Son will be living in you, Satan will not even come close to you. And you will defeat the devil and the temptation and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's how God wants us to live this life. This short life, listen, this short life. It is so short comparing to eternity will we spend forever and ever the door. You can imagine? God is preparing us for that life that Paul says, though I never saw, though ear never heard, and never came to the mind of the man, what God has prepared for those who love him. That's awaiting us. This is the future. Brother, we have before us the future. We're not here forever. I remember my mother used to tell us when we've been 11 siblings at home, and she was gathering us, and she didn't have books. She had a book. It was the Bible. And she was reading to us, and she says, you know what? We are guests on this earth. God is preparing something special for us. And you know what the thing is she always been telling us? She says, I love you, and I want you, when you will be getting married, I will ask you not to go too far from me. But when I'm going to go before you, I want to see you all in heaven. I was thinking, wow, what a blessing to have somebody like this and expecting in someday in heaven the great reunion will happen if we walk with the Lord on this earth. And we have to choose and go until he comes. God wanted to be part of our life. He doesn't want it to be pushed out. He created us for himself. And he wanted to run our life. And he wanted to teach us how to live on this earth, because we don't know. We get lost. We think that we have to go to one direction, and when we have to go completely in another direction. And that's why God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and I want you to listen to this. Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18 says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you the prophet. I am the Lord your God. I am the one who is teaching you to profit. I want you to be successful. Not only in this life. I want it to that you may have a successful family. I want that your kids may be all Christians. It's God's desires. Amen. He doesn't want it that no one should perish. That everyone may come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then farther, the prophet is telling, he says, who leads you in the way in which you should go. God now already have it for you a way, and he leads you in the proper way, in the way that you should go. That you may not walk alone, that you may walk with God. He wanted to sustain you in the time of trouble, in the time of despair. God is there to help you and give you the grace and strength and allow you to walk through all this despair in life. And then he says, the last part of the verse says, oh, if you will just heed to my commandment, your peace will be like the river flowing, and your righteousness like the wave of the sea. Oh, if you just will pay attention to what I'm saying. And sometimes, you know, the problem with us is that we forget. Anytime we read it, the Bible, and we memorize the verse, but we forget. God says, stop. Stop on your ways. We sometimes have to stop and examine ourselves. We're good to examine somebody else, isn't it? But God wants us to look in ourselves and see where is the problem. See why we're failing. Why we're not walking as we should. Why we're not remaining faithful to the Lord. Why we have this much problem. You remember the Jesus bringing this parable about the full rich man? In the Gospel of Luke, in the chapter 12, beginning with the verse 17, says, the rich man had a good harvest, and he says, what I should do? My barns are too small. And then he sat down and began to reflect on what he should do, and he said, hey, I'm going to do it now. I'm going to tear down all my old barns and build new ones and bigger, and then I will get all my goods and my crops. And then I'm going to sit down and get my rest and will say, hey, now you have it all in store for yourself for many years. I will begin to drink and eat and be merry. And then God speaks from heaven and says, you know what? Fool, man. Tonight I am sending for your soul. And all what you have accomplished, who will enjoy it? And Jesus says, conclude, he says, that's what happened with the man. So is he who lays treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And as he says, who lays all this thing for himself, but he's not reaching God. You know what? Everything that you and I accomplish someday will go with the smoke. You want to believe it or you don't. Doesn't matter how much precious could be for yourself, for you. And even if some bodies will inherit, I will tell you, they even won't remember your name. The only thing, listen good, the only thing that your children will remain, I mean will remember you, that's what you've been in their life and who you've been in their life. And that's why you and I must learn to sow good seeds. You know why? Because somebody walks behind us and could be your own children. And that's why we have to be so careful the way that we live. Because every single day, we're setting a pattern for somebody who walks behind us. I always, when I talk to my sons, I have two sons who are married, have a family. You know what I tell them? Say, listen, Denny, love your wife. Love your kids. Read the Bible for your family. Pray with them. And not only pray with them, you must stand in the gap because you are the priest of the house. You know, we men many times are dragging our feet. Oh, yes, we know how to use tools, don't we? And other things. But what happened? Many times we don't know to use the toolkit that God has given us. How to lead the family. That is so important. Because eternity It's at stake. And our family have to be in heaven. Amen? I want to tell you, we claim our kids and our grandkids for heaven. And we talk to them. And we're telling them that they have to live carefully on this earth. You want to know that Paul was after men? I will ask you to open the first epistle of Timothy 1, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 8. Listen here. He says, I desire that the men pray everywhere, lifting up the holy hands without wrath and doubt. Paul knew that he needs men. And he says, I desire, it's my desire that men may pray always, lifting up the holy hand for God. Lifting up the family. Lifting up the work. Lifting up the neighborhood where they live. In our prayers. Reminds me many years ago, being yet in Chicago, Tony Evans. He was coming to Founders Week, Moody Founders Week, and we had pastors conference, and he used to come and preach. And I remember when he was telling that in the 80s he graduated from Dallas Seminary, and he says, I just stay in Dallas. He was a black preacher. And he says, I went to the ghettos of my city. And you know what? He says, I went after men. And I went on the streets because I wanted men to be my teachers of the Sunday school. I wanted to be men that they may be leaders in my church. I wanted men to be my elders. I wanted to be men that may be my deacons. And you know, God honored his ministry. The largest black church of Dallas, Texas, God help him to establish. God, it's after men. Men are dragging the feet when it's touching to prayer. I know the men many times were asked the ladies to pray. When the Bible says God wants men to pray, that men would lift it up their holy hand without wrath and doubting. And then we came to the conference, send us to California, and we were happy to come because we had enough cold winters in Chicago and we just want to get away. And I remember that walking on the streets, I look for men. And you know what happened to men? They were running away from me. They laid there and confessed. When I was after men, get those men. I was getting in from the front door. They were getting out from the house in the back door. Or sometime hitting themselves in the room because they don't want to see the preacher. I remember a time when we opened the account in one of the banks in Sacramento. And I saw a Spanish lady in the window and I went right away to her. I begin to witness right there to her. And she grabbed my hand and she says, you know what? If you get my husband, I am in it. Believe me, I was after Gregorio. Did I get him? And I knew that the whole family will come. Did you see how important is the man, family? God wanted to show us that even Elijah, you remember Elijah? He was a man like we are. Look at what it says in James. And James says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed how? Earnestly. And it would not rain, and did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Heaven was shut down because of Elijah's prayer. And Elijah disappeared from the land of Israel. The king was in trouble, and he would look all over for Elijah, and he couldn't find him because God hid him. And one day, Elijah comes back, and he appears before the king, and king was asking him, why do you trouble the nation? No, not me. I am not troubling. It's you and your household that's the one who are troubling the nation. He says, go and get all those false prophets to the mountain Carmel, and God's going to show up himself who he is. And you remember what happened there. When the fire came upon the offering and burned all that offering, whole congregation of people fell on their faces and says, Jehovah, it's our God. Jehovah, it's our God. They recognize. Then he gets and sent his servant. Actually, there is farther yet that he was on the top of the mountain and was sending his servant to see what that he may look up to the sea, if he will see any cloud. And finally, on the seventh round, the servant saw a small cloud as the palm of the hand raising up from the sea. And he says, go and tell Ahab that he may eat because of rain sounds that is coming upon the earth. And even before that Ahab get home, Elisha was there in the city. And you remember that Quinn sent a messenger and says, you know what, Elijah? If you will not restore your life, it's in danger. And Elijah gets scared, and he ran for his life to the last city. Beersheba, that's way down in Judas, and he left his servant there, and then he walked for another day in the desert and threw himself under the broom tree, and he lay down and slept there. And the angel wake him up and said, and he saw that was the cake there and pitcher of water, and he ate and drank and went back again to sleep. And the next time the angel comes and wake him up, and he says, you know what? Eat up, because a long road is before you. And he ate again, and the Bible says that he walked 40 days and 40 nights in the place where he met God, to the mountains of the Lord. And he just stay in the cave there. And God comes and asks, Elijah, what you're doing here? Oh, he says, I have zeal for the Lord. The whole nation of Israel forget about you and kill all the prophets. I am just alone living here and they seek my life. God said, Elijah, it's not so. I still have 7,000 people who didn't bow before the Baal and even didn't kiss Baal. I still have those men. And sometimes we think when we are in trouble that we are alone. When God says, no, you are not alone. Lo, I am with you always till the end of the world. Amen? God wanted to guide us. He knows the future and he wants us to endure it, to run the race that is set before us with endurance till we reach the mark. Shall we stand for prayer? Heavenly Father, how grateful and thankful we are for Jesus. Thank you for your love, grace, and peace and goodness that has been poured in our hearts. Thank you for your word that is encouraging us that we may walk in this journey, not alone, but always with you. Thank you for holding us up by the hand and leading us to that glorious day when we will stand at the door of heaven and you will welcome us in. You will place that crown of righteousness which one you, God, will allow us to come in on your righteousness that you earned for us. Thank you for helping us to live this life. Guide us, lead us. We need you as never before. We do pray in Jesus' blessed name. Well, you better sit down now because we still have one song that I want. We're going to listen a beautiful song that now we're going to play this one.
Time. the reality of it is, in the field, there's very few churches as we would recognize them. Most of what we call church goes on in foxholes or small areas, or alone in a dark room in a barracks at night where you hear someone weeping. But to be able to put on a headphone, and I don't want to say in the privacy, but in the intimacy with Jesus, no matter what you're doing, is a great blessing.
And by providing a Bible stick, a soldier can find out for themselves exactly what Jesus said for themselves. And we have testimonies of men and women who are not God-fearing. Some were professed atheists.
Some of these Bible sticks would go to units, and over a six-month deployment, 10 to 15 different Marines would listen through it, and they just pass it around.
And after listening to a Bible stick that one soldier handed to another soldier in one of those down times, and they came back and said, I never really knew Jesus said that, and I'm ready to commit my life to the Lord now. And that's what the military Bible stick's all about. It's getting God's word to people to change their life.
And listening to this was that part of the rehab or the recovery, that there's not a doctor out there that could have done any better. It started me back onto, hey, this is gonna be okay. I am here with you. This is not for you alone to endure.